listen to that.
Oh, wow, it's so corny.
Oh, I could dance to that all night. And did once. Jack Hughes. Tall, blonde, crew cut. And he was pinned to somebody else, as I recall.
Mother, how shocking.
No, it didn't matter. Our world was going mad anyhow. It was 1940. Jack was leaving for his Navy pre-flight training at Pensacola. And somebody at the party, bless him, kept putting on the same Tommy Dorsey record.
Disgusting.
What? What's disgusting, Tommy Dorsey? My memories.
Oh, the whole silly thing. You coming in here while the party's going on to listen to junk like this? And the idea of 40 musicians sitting up there dressed in white dinner jackets grinding out a song called I'm Getting Sentimental Over You.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Oh, no, here they come, all the old folks.
It sounded like Dorsey.
Or was it Glenn Miller?
Play some more of those oldies but goodies for us, would you, Helen?
Yes, please, Helen. Something we can dance to.
Okay, I will play more of these old songs, but only if you insist.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do.
But I won't be held responsible for the memories they bring back to each of you.
That's okay. Don't worry about that. I'll take my chances with that.
Somebody shut the door.
All right, I will.
Well, Sandy, what do you think?
It's incredible. You put on that silly music and people start coming out of the woodwork.
Well, that's because it's our music. 30 years from now, if you happen to hear a record of the Beatles singing Yellow Submarine, you might get sentimental too. Memories, Sandy, we all have our memories.
I get this crazy picture of you and Dad dancing cheek to cheek to sloppy stuff like that.
Not in 1940, we weren't. I didn't even meet your father until the very last year of the war.
The war. With you people, it's always the war.
Sandy.
Your one big adventure, huh? Those groovy, glamorous 1940s when everybody was going out and trying to kill everybody else. And some very sick lady in Germany was making lampshades out of human skin.
Oh, we were young then. Your dad, Earl, Peter, Jane, Tom. I was about your age, 19. And it seemed as if the war sneaked up on our generation like a deadly fog. Once we were in it, there was little we could do. We had to fight. We had no choice.
No choice?
No. Oh, there may have been a time to stop the war before it really got started. But by 1940, it was too late. For all of us in the world, it was too late.
It may have been too late, but didn't you still at least try to stop it? Weren't you making peace marches or writing the president? What were you doing about the war in 1940?
Doing? Well, I'm afraid I was simply going to school and to parties and dancing to music like this. I won't play it again if it's going to make you sick.
No, go ahead. Now I'm sort of curious to see what your generation did do and didn't do with your lives in 1940.
Well, we danced to Dorsey's music and tried hard not to listen to the news from Europe and the Far East. America wasn't in the war yet, so we could dance and hope the beautiful music would drown out those other sounds.
Another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine.
Hitler knows
that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we can stand up to him, all Europe may be freed, and the life of the world may move forward into broad, sunlit upland. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty. So bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
But the sounds from overseas came through to us anyhow.
And?
I wonder if you can imagine what it was like to wake up suddenly in 1941 and discover that Hitler's Germany had conquered most of Europe, and that Japan held the China coast and was moving into the East Indies and Malaysia.
Then you did finally wake up.
Yes. Early one Sunday morning in December of 1941. We'd gone to bed the night before humming one of our songs and woke up the next morning to the sound of war. Oh, not just any war. Now it was our war.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
Oh, brother, were we ever mad? I was going to Cal. Yeah, at the time, I remember that Monday after Pearl Harbor when Roosevelt spoke. All us guys met at Jules Creamery. There's Pete here, and Woody, Phil.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Without a warning.
Yeah, with their peace envoys sitting in Washington.
Hey, what do you guys think severe damage means? That's what FDR said in his speech. Severe damage to American naval forces.
I'd hate to guess.
Wasn't the whole Pacific Fleet stationed in Hawaii?
Remember Ken Batchelder? Played center a couple of years ago. He's an ensign aboard the Arizona. Wonder if
I don't know about you, but I'm enlisting today.
I'm with you, Earl.
Me too. What about you, Woody? You coming with us?
No. I'm gonna finish school first.
Oh, fine, Woody. The whole Japanese army may be landing at Ocean Beach tomorrow morning, but you go ahead to your anthro class.
Yeah.
Don't worry about a thing.
Come on, you guys. Lay off. It's just that I think I'll be more valuable to the country if I finish school.
Sure, Woody. You just stay here.
Yeah, you
finish
take care
school.
Of the girls for us yeah. And have a good time, pal. Hmm? We'll go out and take care of the Japs yeah. And the Germans for you.
Come on, Earl. Let's get downtown to the recruiting office and get in line.
Get in line? You mean you people actually stood in line to go to war?
You're darn right we did. It was total war. The entire world was threatened. Some of us were pretty green kids, yet we knew we had to beat the Germans and the Japanese if we were going to survive. You didn't hear any of this should we be fighting stuff. We're wrong and the other side is right. No, we were all together in that one.
And remember, Earl, those songs that came out during the first years of the war? Like, Let's Remember Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, I remember.
And there was one called We Did It Before and We Can Do It Again.
Yeah, and don't forget Goodbye, Mama. I'm off to Yokohama.
or Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition.
Oh, come on. You people must be kidding.
Oh, no, we're not kidding, Earl. Jane, Tom?
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord, we're not a-going fishing.
Oh, stop, that's too much.
Oh, I wish we had some of those records. But I only collected the sloppy stuff, as Sandy calls it.
Yeah.
Oh, Doris, remember Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
Sure do, from that movie with Judy Garland,
The Wizard of Oz.
I think every jukebox in Texas had that song on it when the 34th Infantry Division was training there. They were getting us ready to fight Rommel in Africa, but we didn't know it then, thank goodness.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby.
November 8th, 1942, Operation Torch. Code name for British American invasion of North Africa. Objective, crush Rommel's Africa Corps. Landing sites, Casablanca, Oran.
What do names mean? To those of us who are there, they can still cause a shudder. Not names like North Africa, Sicily, Italy. To an infantryman, those names mean nothing. But mention places like Kasserine Pass, or Hill 609, or El Guitar, or words like ME-109, Mark III Tiger Tank, or the German 88.
On St. Valentine's Day, Field Marshal Rommel decided to attack west against the Americans. For the first time, we would be fighting the Americans. Our 10th and 21st Panzer Divisions broke through their line easily at Kasserine Pass, and the Big Mouth Yankees ran. We captured over 2,400 of them.
Wow, I just had a horrifying thought.
What's that, dear?
I just imagine that all around the world there are people your age full of sentimental thoughts about World War II. Englishmen, Russians, Chinese, Germans, Japanese. Horrifying thought.
2,400 of the Big Mouth Yankees.
Mention Kasserine Pass to a GI from the old 34th Division if you want to see a grown man wince.
Or names like Wake Island, Guam, Bataan and Corregidor to an old Marine.
Hi, Dad. Welcome to our party, our World War II party.
And have no fear. The Navy's here.
Mr. Mellon, you too?
Well, I didn't want you to miss any of the important battles of the war. You know, the ones fought by the United States Navy in the Coral Sea at Midway, off Savo Island.
And I'm going to make sure that the Air Force gets a fair shake, especially my Carl's old outfit. The 389th, the bomb group.
Help, I'm surrounded.
Don't worry, Sandy. Not all of us here have sentimental memories of the war. War or peace, my memories aren't pleasant ones. Don't forget that Dave and Mary Amato are here with us, too.
And many others, I see. Oh, I'm afraid you're in for it, Sandy.
Yeah. Okay, all you old folks, let's hear it. Go ahead and lay it on me.
Palermo, Gela, Messina.
Cape Gloucester, New Ireland.
Ploesti.
Salerno, Casino.
Rabaul, Truck.
Toracuto.
Truck.
Sakayoshio. Katste, Ikugun Shoi.
Yoshio Sakai, once Lieutenant, 29th Infantry, Sendai Division, Japanese Imperial Army.
No motto.
Our motto, remember that death is lighter than a feather, but duty is heavier than a mountain. As we boarded the ships at Truk, we chanted, corpses drifting swollen in the sea depths. Corpses rotten in the mountain grass. We shall die. We shall die for the emperor. We shall never look back. We were to land 22 miles east of the Tenaru River and attack the American 1st Marine Division. Our orders from General Hyakutake: quickly recapture and maintain the airfields at Guadalcanal.
The Guadalcanal jungle. Malaria, dengue fever, yellow jaundice and dysentery. Blood-sucking leeches and big green snakes that crawled into our sleeping bags at night. Tropical ulcers that ate into the outer covering of the bone. And fungus that festered and left the flesh encrusted and oozing. And, of course, the Japanese.
Good grief, you've just started and already I'm suffering from shell shock.
In the big war, Sandy, we called it battle fatigue. You should have seen the Marines who came back aboard ship after Tarawa. Wild-looking men with matted beards, their uniforms torn, reeking with sweat, blood, faces gray from shock and fatigue. Some of them were strangely quiet, so quiet, just sat there staring. The thousand-yard stare, we called it.
Please. Enough blood for a while. How about some gentler stories? What was going on here in America?
Oh. Rationing?
We were finally making some good money, and we couldn't buy anything with it.
Yeah, gasoline, sugar, meat, butter, canned foods, all rationed.
Oh, we had blackouts.
Yeah, I remember those, yeah.
Hey there, Rattermakers! Get those lights out!
Henry, I told you these Venetian blinds wouldn't make good blackout curtains. Henry, where'd you go?
I'm filling the bathtub with water, Puddin, in case of incendiary attack.
I, ladies and gentlemen, was a member of the Ground Observer Corps. Yeah, I sat in a duck blind on the Sacramento River, reporting every single plane I saw to the Western Defense Command. There were over 500,000 of us aircraft spotters.
I worked at the USO. Remember that?
And a great migration of Americans was on.
Migration? What sort of migration?
Oh, people leaving farms and going to work in defense plants.
Servicemen traveling in all directions.
Wives and sweethearts of servicemen traveling to be with their loved ones.
Southern Negro sharecroppers and tenant farmers heading east, north, and west to work in shipyards and factories.
For once, I admit there were some decent jobs available for blacks. Although, listen to what the president of one of the large aircraft factories said.
While we are in complete sympathy with the Negro, it is against company policy to employ them as aircraft workers and mechanics, regardless of their training. There will be some jobs as janitors for Negroes.
There were people traveling everywhere, jammed aboard crowded trains and buses or driving cars on bald tires.
From Natchez to Mobile, from Boston to St. Joe, wherever the four winds blow.
And there was the enforced migration of Japanese Americans from the West Coast to detention camps in Arizona, Utah, and Wyoming. Dave and Mary know all about that.
What else was going on?
Men going into the service left a vacuum, and their jobs had to be filled by teenagers, older men.
Hildegard sang, they're either too young or too old.
And women?
Women doing what?
Oh, working on the railroad, driving taxicabs, working in service stations.
Working as air raid wardens.
Welding.
Riveting.
Rosie, the riveter.
Well, I'll tell you, Doris, I'm making more money than Herbie used to make before the war. And now that Herbie's stationed up in the Aleutians with nothing to spend his dough on, he's salting it away too.
Lucille, you should be putting that money into war bonds.
Oh, don't be a stupid-nagle. It's my money and I'm gonna keep it where I can see it. Us riveters are hard-headed.
What else did women do?
We got V-mail letters, everything crowded onto that tiny blue stationery and cut up by the censor, and each night we sang, good night wherever you are.
Oh, and right. We sang, don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Yeah.
Oh, and we all sang, Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week.
Yeah, they're... And remember, there are all kinds of government agencies. Seem like there are thousands of them. The OWI, the OPA, the WLB, WPB, yeah. WSA.
Yeah, and let's not forget that close to 500,000 women served in the armed forces. They joined the WAVES, the WACS, mm-hmm. the SPARS.
Remember the Liberty Ship?
Yeah, and SNAFU, mm-hmm. which stood for Situation Normal All Fouled Up.
The word gizmo.
G.I., government issue.
It was also the time of jitterbugging in a zoot suit.
I want a zoot suit with a reet pleat yeah. with a drape shape and a stuff cup.
Oh, wow, this stuff is too much. Let's go back to the war itself, okay? Now what?
It's the winter of 1942-43, Sandy, and it's snowing in Russia.
The sergeant told us these would be our last letters out of Stalingrad. We are surrounded by many Russian divisions, and the last plane out will take off tomorrow morning with this note. No sentiments, Father. Handshake for Lydia and Helena. Kiss for Mother. Kiss for Gerda. Regards to all the rest.
Tomorrow I shall set foot on the last bridge. Give me your hand so that crossing it won't be so hard.
Mariah, dear Mariah, if I could only see you just once more. When you light the candles, think of your father in Stalingrad.
During the night, I cry without control, like a child. What will all this lead to?
And if there should be a God, he is only with you in the hymnals and the prayers, in the ringing of the bells and the fragrance of the incense, but not in Stalingrad.
Then it was summer.
The bloody summer of 1943.
Precision daylight bombing attacks by the 8th Air Force against the centers of the German aircraft industry.
Target for today? The Fiesler Works at Kassel Bettenhausen, which produces the Folk Wolf 190.
Okay, gang, that's enough. I give up. I surrender.
Oh, but the war's not over yet, Sandy.
Sure. It isn't.
No, we've only reached the winter of 1943. We've still got another year and a half to go.
But it's going on too long.
Yes, that's what we thought, too.
How about a joke?
Yes, good. We need one.
Well, in November of 1943, the Big Three, that was Roosevelt, Stalin, and Churchill, met at Tehran to discuss the Allied invasion of Europe. Well, anyhow, this correspondent walks up to the Big Three and he asks, "What's cooking?" And Churchill replies, "Hitler's goose."
Well, there's our theme music again.
Yes, I thought we'd better take a break before going on with the war.
Right.
Hey, everybody, remember how the old-time radio announcers used to close the big band music programs? Huh?
And so, from the Royal Hawaiian Room, high atop the Hotel Astor in downtown Cleveland...
So, ladies and gentlemen, from the middle of World War II, where we've been dancing to the music of Tommy Dorsey, we bid you good night. You can go to sleep in this year of 1943, knowing that all your Japanese-American friends are safe and snug behind barbed wire in Wyoming, that your black friends are going out to help fight the war, but don't worry, they won't be allowed to mingle with your white sons, that the sharks in the South Pacific... No, that's too brutal. Just know that the wounded and the missing and the dead are piling up in the Pacific and in Russia and Italy and in the concentration camps of Germany. And soon there'll be plenty more strewn along the beaches of France. And the big question is it all worth it? Or as the German soldier at Stalingrad asked, what will all this lead to? Tune in tomorrow to find out when we resume World War II. In the meantime, sleep well, America. Sleep well.
This has been another program in the series, Our Nation's Heritage, produced and presented as a public service by Chevron Oil Company.